Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church on this Memorial Day weekend. We're so happy to have you here today. Just a few announcements. First is to welcome Reverend John White, our dear friend, who is the Dean of Student Life and Vice President of Student Relations at Princeton Theological Seminary. And he's the son of our June White, which I understand has a birthday coming up next week. So happy birthday to June. So it's great to have him here today. She's turning 39. Again. Okay.
It's a miracle. It's a miracle.
Oh, yes.
Pentecost.
Yeah, the Pentecost offering. Yes. You're free to give the Pentecost offering today. We appreciate that. The deacons have their annual picnic coming up June 10th, so look forward to that. And this week, Reverend Wood resumes his Basics of Christian Faith Tuesday at 7 p.m. And I believe Kathy wants to give an update on the PNC.
Okay, just real quick, representing the PNC, just wanted to let you know that there were, I believe, like 59 applicants so far that we were looking at. We are weaning them down. We have a great chunk that we are looking at and weaning down from there. Our next meeting is on the 31st. If there's any questions, feel free to contact me or anyone on the PNC.
Thanks, Kathy, for the update. With that, we'll turn it over to Reverend White, and we'll do the call to worship.
Our call to worship is with us on the screen here, and I am going to move away from the pulpit area so I can actually see it.
Sing to the Lord a new song, for our God has done marvelous things.
Shout out to the Lord, all the earth.
Break forth in joyful song and sing praises. Our opening hymn is The Man.
isn't it good to sing a hymn that you actually know?
Yes.
Some hymns come up there, you say, what in the world was that? But there's a hymn from 1861 that's almost as, just barely older than this congregation. How about that? Friends, if we say that we have no sin, we only deceive ourselves and are strangers to the truth. But if we confess our sins before our God who is gracious and just will indeed forgive us of our sins. Therefore, with penitent hearts, let us come before God and confessing our sins first as a people together and then silently. There are many times when we think we love you, O God, but upon hearing your call to love you with all our heart and all our mind and all our strength, we confess that our love for you is a diluted love. Our love seems pure only for brief moments. Soon our affections are drawn away. Forgive us. In deep mercy, spare us. In grace, rekindle our love for you. And help us to be free to love one another. We pray this, assured of your constant love for us. Amen. And that the people of God together say amen.
Amen.
Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Christ we are forgiven.
We believe in the forgiveness of sins. We are saved by grace through faith. This is God's gift in Jesus Christ.
Sisters and brothers, let us give an affirmation of what we believe, utilizing that creed that has been passed down over the generations. What do you believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived of the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He ascended to hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Friends, we are here as a people of God drawn together in faith, and we'd like to take time to greet one another. First, are there any persons who are visiting with us this day? Please, if you can, I'm visiting, yeah, that's right. Yes, but is there anyone else who's visiting? And please give us your name and your where you're visiting from, if you have a church, that so that we can more properly greet you, because we're going to get our pews, we're going to have a good time in a minute.
My name is Janet, and I'm from the Hempstead Presbyterian Church in the Montville area.
We're delighted to have you here at the Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church. Please.
From Westminster Presbyterian in Columbus, New Mexico.
There we go. We're delighted to have you here. And we know that you have a relative in our midst, so that's all right. Anyone else who's visiting? There's my mother over there.
And I'm visiting the Fox Chapel Presbyterian Church, which I am now an elder. And it's so happy to see all your good faces and good friends.
Yep. And I am here and I'm visiting from the Princeton Theological Seminary, and I bring you greetings from the New Brunswick Presbytery, of which I am a member. Friends, it is good for us to be together on this day, and we can affirm together that God is good all the time and all the time.
God is good.
Friends, let us indeed pass the peace of Christ to one another. As we are moving forward with our worship service, eventually.
Try to get them to quiet down. It's a job.
It's all right. We're having fun. This is all right.
I'm in no hurry. It's sideways.
What sideways?
Well, that isn't what I saw on my computer. That's not what I saw on my computer.
Thank you.
There you go. Okay, I just wanted you to be able to see what the kids are looking at. That's a very strange picture, you can tell. First time I saw it, I couldn't figure out what it was. Oh, Sean, you want to give one to the pastor so he can
see it? I'm seeing just fine.
Can you see? Well, you need to see it up close.
I can. Well, there we go.
Here, Sean, I have another one.
Oh, thank you. He has plenty.
I'm sorry, I forgot to give you one.
Whoa.
Okay, what is that?
It looks like
pencils. It's pencils.
It looks like a demo board.
That's from Dungeons and Dragons, right? Stranger Things. Well, look at it very closely. What is...
Oh, they're yellow and orange pencils. And green.
It is. It's a piece of artwork made up of pencils.
Inside, the thing of the blue things is upside down colored pencils to give it that color.
Exactly right. A pencil is a very ordinary thing, isn't it?
Yes.
And can you believe that somebody made a piece of artwork out of ordinary pencils? A pencil can do a lot of things, even though it's very ordinary. It can write a letter to cheer someone up. It can write a wonderful story. It can draw a picture. It can do all kinds of things. I think you're probably right. So a pencil can also teach us some very important lessons. Everything you do will always leave a mark. You might not realize it, how it affects other people, but other people will know. Okay. Well, you see, you just thought you were being nice, but it was really important to your grandma, right? That's good. So you want to live your life remembering that everything you do leaves a mark. And what can you do if you make a mistake with a pencil?
You can erase it.
And you can erase your own mistakes if you own up to it and say, I made a mistake, I need to make this right. You can erase your mistake. You have to remember that what's inside of you is important. Without the lead and the pencil, you really can't do much. So it's what's inside of you, it's what's in your heart that is important.
So if you do an action and it can't be fixed, basically the lead's breaking.
I think you're right.
You chewed up the eraser.
Or you chewed up the eraser. You guys are good. What happens when your pencil gets worn down and doesn't really work very well? What do you do with it? You sharpen it. And we people, grown-ups too, not just kids, we need sharpening too sometimes. We face tests in our lives and we learn the lessons that those tests teach us, that we're getting sharpened and we're learning. And I've actually learned sometimes more from making mistakes than from doing things right. So we're all going to get sharpened from time to time. And can a pencil do these things all by itself?
No.
No. It takes a person's hand to guide the pencil. And we need to be guided by hands as well.
What about a robot backing the robot?
Well, that's not the pencil doing the work, though, is it? It's the robot. Okay, whose hand should be guiding you?
God.
God. Who else?
Jesus.
Jesus.
Our sins.
How about your mom and dad?
Them too.
And your teachers and your church family. Those are all people who can help you and guide you. Okay, and we all need to be sharpened sometimes. So the story about a pencil should let you know that you are a special person with unique gifts and talents. And only you can fulfill the purpose for which you were born. So I think you will all do very good things, and never let yourself be discouraged or think that you can't. Be like the pencil. Remember that the most important part of you is what's inside of you. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Dear Lord, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for these precious children, and we ask you to guide them as they make their mark in this world. Help us as grown-ups to be guided by your hand as we help guide these children. Thank you for this lovely day and this amazing church family. And I have some colored pencils to give you to remind you of how important you are and that you will make a mark in this world, but not on your mom's walls. Thank you for coming up today. You may keep the pictures if you want them.
Amen. God, say amen. Now say amen like you mean it.
Amen.
There we go. We're waking up on this day.
Good morning. We have a couple prayer requests today. The first one is from Jenny Reinhardt. Last night, her daughter Amy coded with her breathing difficulties, and she was put on a ventilator. Jenny is just asking that we request for prayers today for her healing, comfort, and strength for all of them. And also ask just a prayer for myself, for my sister-in-law. If you could just lift Leslie up in your prayers, I'd appreciate it. And then also we have a praise request. This is from Kathy Segi. This is for all the military, past and present. Praise to all the brave men and women from all the branches of the military who gave their own lives to give us the freedoms of today and in the future. Pray that the Lord will bless the family members of those who have passed. May the Lord continue to bless them with his comforting hand. Thank you.
as we are about to sing our hymn of meditation, Give Thanks, this is a special little song for me. One of the congregations I pastored when I was down in Georgia, they sang this every week to remind the congregation that we have so much to give thanks for. So as we sing this song, do not be surprised if I shed a tear or two up here. Friends, let us sing. Let's give glory to God. Let those who are able please stand. Reminded of the fact that you are indeed the author of the universe. You have given us so much, and for that we should always give thanks. And we pray for this world in which we live, because we look around and we see strife, we see pain. We hear rhetoric and words of hate, but great God, you have taught us how to love. So give us the faith to follow you. Great God, we pray for those places in our world, those places where we find people at odds with one another. We pray for, yes, North and South Korea. We pray for those nations in Africa that are currently undergoing civil war. We pray for this nation in which we live. We come together on a weekend like this, a national holiday, but we know that indeed we have people in this country who are not peaceful with one another. But great God, we know that you have the power to do all things, because indeed nothing is impossible for you. So we ask indeed that you would bring us together so that we can indeed love you with one mind and with one heart. Great God, we have concerns within this congregation. We'd like to pray for Jenny's daughter. We pray for Leslie. We indeed pray for those concerns that have not been lifted up. We indeed lift up our concern for people who wanted to come to worship this morning, but who simply were not physically able to do just that. Great God, be with them. We pray for your healing power. We pray that you may make them and us strong so that indeed we can go out and do your work in this world. Great God, we pray for our military, for those individuals who continue to serve in places throughout this world so that we can enjoy the freedoms that we have as a nation. We are thankful for those individuals who have indeed served throughout the years, for those individuals who had paid the ultimate sacrifice by giving of their own lives so that we could indeed have the joys of life here. And yes, we are thankful for the sacrifice of your Son. Great God, as we are here on this day, we must also remember people who are struggling. We see families running to try to get away from the volcanic destruction in the island of Hawaii. Be with them as they are suffering there and trying to figure out how they can pick up the pieces of their lives. Help us all to realize how we can pick up these little pieces of our lives as we are looking to serve you in new and creative ways. Great God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the promise that it presents. And we indeed ask that we may be constantly focused upon that gift of the cross as we pray that prayer that Jesus taught his disciples as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. I'm just looking to see what I'm supposed to do next, so I don't mess up too bad. It is time for our offering, so let us offer the sacrifice of righteousness, and let us put our trust in the Lord. Will those who are receiving the offering please come forward?
Before I start, I'd just like to say thank you for choosing that hymn this morning. Thank you for playing that hymn this morning. As I start to lose my singing voice, it was one of my favorite solos.
Amen.
The first scripture reading is from Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. In the year that King Uzzah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above him. Each had six wings. With two they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And one called to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. The pivots on the threshold shook at the voices of those who called, and the house filled with smoke. And I said, Woe is me, I am lost, For I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. The seraph touched my mouth with it and said, "Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed, and your sin is blotted is blotted out." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I. Send me." The second reading is from Romans chapter 8, verses 12 through 17. So then, brothers and sisters, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put death, if you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption, when we cry, "Abba, Father." It is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if in fact we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him.
Friends, let me tell you how good it is to be back with you once again. Every time I drive up to the Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church and walk into the sanctuary, I feel as though I'm coming home. So it's good to be with you at this time of worship. Yes? Oh, you're so kind. These are my relatives back here who are clapping. Please pray with me. Great God, we thank you for this moment where we can enter into this time where we are just reflecting upon your word. And we pray that the meditations of our heart and the words of our mouths, that these may always be acceptable in your sight. For you are our rock and our redeemer. Great God, we give you thanks for this day, and we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Friends, in our reading of the scriptural narrative, we should resist the temptation to fall prey to the trap of sanitizing the text. You're saying, what is he meaning? Sanitizing the text. You see, there are times when we contemporary folk prefer to imagine the stories of the Bible as being paintings upon canvas or stained glass windows that are so clear, so pure. Or we like to think of them as being like frescoes on an ancient cathedral. It may come across as inspirational to envision biblical characters adorned with their clean garments and their flowing hair, which I do not have anymore. Peering at the faces of our artistic characters, we see determination and confidence throughout all their persona, and we like to think that they were driven with conviction, fully assured of the purpose of their calling. And why is it that we are indeed choosing to view people in such a way? Well, maybe it is because we have been so influenced by masters of the Renaissance, such as Michelangelo and Leonardo da Vinci, who have indeed given us those renderings which are so dramatic. They have left an indelible imprint on us. And maybe it is simply because we like to view these biblical characters as being heroes of our faith. And let's face it, my friends, we need heroes in our lives to guide us, do we not? Let me hear it. Amen.
Amen.
Do we need heroes? Say yes or no.
Yes.
There we go. We're awake here in Glenshaw Valley. But as we get behind the actual stories of the Bible, we see that there's so much earthiness that's there. See, life is messy. And we like to, you know, we know our lives are messy, but things were messy back then. And I think if we understand that life has always been messy, then we can understand that the Bible can speak to us in our messiness. You know what I'm talking about today? You see, the images which are presented in Isaiah 6th chapter, they may appear to be like those from a fantasy, like the Avengers movies. You know how folks like those Avengers movies? Those movies, Clash of the Titans, all kind of images on the screen. My wife loves to go see those type of movies. Now, I like to go see the movies for another reason. I like popcorn. And some of these new theaters, you know what they're talking about? They have these reclining chairs. It gets all comfortable. They turn the lights out. You know what I do? I fall asleep. I'm a happy man. And then I wake up when it gets too loud. Sometimes I wake up with the final credits just rolling down. But that's okay. That's fine with me. But we return to our scripture. I can go on. I'm a preacher, right? I can just go on and on. But we need to understand with the messiness of everything that the betrayal of the heavenly temple is gripping poetry. Yes, its words can be indeed exciting for us to read nowadays. But know that its words were terrifying for the people of ancient days even to contemplate. You see, scholars tell us that Isaiah was a priest, that he was from a priestly family, but we need to understand for the people of that culture in that ancient time and within their literature and within their beliefs that they thought that they would indeed die if they were ever to see God, to even utter God's name. And here was Isaiah. Isaiah was witnessing a scene from the heavenly throne room where holy God was sitting high and elevated in all of God's splendor, surrounded by the awesome and impressive attendants that were there taking care of the divine. Isaiah, who was essentially an earthly intruder into that scene, observed these seraphim, these winged angels, these winged messengers. They were there, and it's a scene that may seem like fun to our contemporary minds, but it was not so for our friends of old. They would have said, "What am I doing here?" And we add to this drama an understanding of the historical context of the day, and we have a very sobering backdrop, because you have to understand that the nation of Israel was about to be overrun by a foreign power known as Assyria, the empire in that area of that day, and it was not a good time to be there advising the king. Now, as you know, I am the Dean of Student Life at Princeton Theological Seminary, one of our Presbyterian seminaries. And one of the functions of my office is to help graduating students find placements as pastors and with other church-related positions. I am often asked upon to help a student read a particular mission information form. You know, the church information forms like you all are dealing with right now as you look for a pastor. And I must admit, when I was reading the text in preparation for today, that I paused to imagine the position description for this particular prophet in his time. Help wanted. Help wanted. Come on, use your imagination. Brave person needed to both confront the king on the sins of the nation and to confront the king about his own sins. This person is called upon to offer advice. This person must be willing to tell the truth that the nation will fall under the rule of another nation. Requirements. You know how you always have to have those requirements and position descriptions, right? Must have thick skin. Must have strong knees, because they'll need to pray a lot. Must have some serious faith. Possibility of success, to be discussed. Probability of keeping one's life, minimal. Pay, not that good. Benefits, to be determined, perhaps in the afterlife. Supervisor, Yahweh, the Lord God of Israel. Email your application to sayyestogod.com. Now, how many people you think would run to apply for such a job? Now, every one of the prophets of the Old Testament had similar position descriptions. True, each of them had their own unique set of circumstances, but not one of them faced an easy task. It is little wonder that so many of them were looking to avoid this calling, and a number of them had some very memorable excuses. Think about what you have read in the scriptures. Jeremiah, he said, oh Lord God, I don't know how to speak yet, because I am just a child. Perhaps you can go find somebody else. How about Moses? Moses says, I am slow of tongue. You know, you can find somebody else. Isaiah said, oh, woe is me, because I am a man of unclean lips. Maybe you can go find somebody else. And who could blame them for looking to avoid the enormity of these tasks facing them? But we should never lose sight that there was so much that was driving these women and men of faith, making them, yes, I dare I say it, heroes for all of us. Heroes for all of us. On this Memorial Day holiday weekend, with the few moments that I have left, I would like for us to reflect upon the marks of a hero. What is it about heroes that make them unique? So I just took the liberty to jot down some of these marks, some of these notes. I know you may have some more. Next week's sermon, you could do something. You could do some of your own thing then. But I'd like to present some of the marks of the hero as I was reflecting upon them. First, I would present that heroes have to understand the chain of command. How many people have been in the military? There we go. You have to have, how many, raise your hands high. Come on. There's a couple. There we go. You understand the chain of command, right? Any soldier, any sailor, any Marine, any airmen or corpsmen, they have to understand the chain of command. Do I hear an amen? Amen. But it's not just reserved for the military. All of us have a chain of command within any organization. It's important for us to understand who's in charge of families. I know who was in charge of my family. She's sitting right there. And she ran a dictatorship. We need to know who provides guidance, who gives orders, Isaiah and, in fact, all of the prophets were clearly aware that they were called by God. They knew that they were not on a mission of their own making. As Isaiah was in the vision of the heavenly temple, he heard the voice of the Lord ask, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" You see, Isaiah and all of the prophets and all of the faithful throughout all the ages have to understand that God is in charge. With a young folks' language, we say that God has their back. Now, God just doesn't have the back, it has the side and the front. God has you all around. So that's one mark of a hero. You have to know who's in charge. A second mark is that the person who has been lifted up as a hero has to understand that there is that sense of sacrifice that they have been called to give. Perhaps you have seen that commercial for the U.S. Marines, "Toward the Sound of Chaos." I know you watch some TV, you've probably seen it. It's a recruiting piece during which the Marines are told that they are moving towards the sounds of tyranny, injustice, and despair, with the courage and resolve to silence them, while showing Marines in their gear. Thank you. I knew someone was listening. In their battle gear, running, not walking, towards the enemy, across the desert, towards a smoke-filled terrain. They knew that there was danger ahead. They did not know totally what they were confronting, but they knew that there was danger there. One of my favorite movies is entitled Glory. Glory came out about 30 years ago. It stars Matthew Broderick as Colonel Robert Gould Shaw, a young white commanding officer who led an all-black regiment called the 54th Massachusetts through several battles of the Civil War, specifically in South Carolina. It also starred Denzel Washington as Private Tripp and Morgan Freeman as well. In a very powerful scene, the regiment makes a full frontal assault on Fort Wagner, and in the midst of the battle, nearly one half of the regiment lost their lives, including Colonel Shaw, including Denzel Washington's character. And we are informed through the final script that the fort was never taken by the Union Army in that battle, but we know who won the war. Friends, it is totally appropriate that we as a nation pause to honor those individuals and families who have given the sacrifices to the service of their country. Each of us owe them a debt. Now, earlier I asked those persons who have been in the military to raise their hands. How many of us have had family members who have been in the military? Raise your hand. That's quite a few of us. It's appropriate that we pause to honor them. Each of us owe them a debt. Yet in this worship space, we give all glory to God, to our God who has given us the gift of the Son and who paid the price of our sin. Those of us in the service to the Prince of Peace must be willing to give sacrificially in service as well. So the first mark that I've lifted up, the chain of the command. The second, the sacrificial giving. The third mark of a hero is that she or he must have the faith to respond to the call that has been placed upon their heart. You have to believe in that to which you are called. In the Isaiah passage, the climactic line is when Isaiah responds by saying, "Here am I, send me. Here am I, send me." You see, my friends, we should never think that responding to the calls to be faithful, responding to the calls to fight injustice, responding to the call to make the world a better place is somebody else's job. Just like our children's message is here, we all are responsible for making this world a better place. It's not enough for us to just sit on the sideline and just to say, "Oh, I wish the world was a better place." What are we doing individually to indeed change the tide? Now, last Sunday, they had a very gripping article in the New York Times magazine, which I was reading. It talked about prisoners who were in California, and they were working in the hospice unit of the prison. So prisoners working in the hospice unit of the prison. And we have to understand that we're talking about prisoners working with prisoners. They were all sentenced to life in prison. And these prisoners were given the opportunity to care for another. And we have to understand that all of them were never going to live again outside of those prison walls. But those who were called to be caregivers, they gave the patients haircuts. They were shaving them. They were brushing their teeth. They were assisting them on walks. And yes, they were talking with them. One of the caregivers, remember, this was a person who was an inmate himself, he said that this experience was life-giving for him. He was quoted as saying, "I'm just returning something that I did not get as a child. All I wanted was kindness and to be held as a boy. And now I get to do that for someone else." My friends, no matter what our station is in life, know that we can still be a hero to another. Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
Yes, we honor our military heroes on weekends such as this, and that is most appropriate. We also remember those persons who have been heroes in our own lives. Parents, siblings, teachers, friends, Sunday school teachers, pastors, session members, deacons, others who have meant so much to us. And may we also take some time to consider ways that we can make a positive impact on the lives around us. As long as we have breath, we should be doing something positive for another. Friends, I'm reminded of a song by Mariah Carey. I know she's a little wacky at times, but girl can sing. And I leave you with these words. No, I'm not going to try to sing it because my voice is not like Mariah Carey's. It's a song called Hero. And it says, "And then a hero comes along with the strength to carry on, and you cast your fears aside, and you know that you can survive. So when you feel that hope is gone, look inside you and be strong, and you'll finally see the truth that a hero lies in you." Friends, all peace, all glory, all honor be to God on this day as we remember the heroes, both those heroes who have given their lives for us and the heroes that live inside of us. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Let us pray. Great God, help us to be persons called upon to give of ourselves in creative ways. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Now we have a final hymn, and I promise Mickey that we're going to have some fun.
Okay.
It's an old Negro spiritual, "I'm Going to Live So God Can Use Me," number 700. 700, we're going to get up. We have to move around a little bit. Come on, just stand up first. Don't come on, stand up. We want you to just get moving. I know it's tough if you can stand up, get moving. If not, just hold your hand up and wave it. That's okay. Because the words talk to us, says, I'm going to live so God can use me anywhere, anytime. I think we can sing this. Mickey's going to get us going, and we're going to close it out. Come on, let's sing to the glory of God. To love and serve the Lord. Let us never return evil for evil, but let us fight evil with the greater power of that which is good. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion we share in the Holy Spirit be with us this day and every day. And let the people of God say,
Amen. Amen.